in ways that other ways can't. Thank you for knowing us. Thank you for wanting the good always. I ask for you to be with us today as I deliver this lecture, and let me be your vessel, and let the words that need to be spoken be from you. I lift up this morning for the ladies, and that they hear the message that you need them to hear today. I ask for all distractions to just be removed, and that this is a full time, and that their groups are able to have rich discussions today as well. Thy will be done. In your name we pray. Amen. So last week's study brought us into the book of Deuteronomy. We're only going to be spending 2 weeks of our year-long study in Deuteronomy. We have the journey to freedom, right? And so we've been in Exodus for weeks upon weeks upon weeks. We left Egypt. We are in the wilderness. We received the Ten Commandments. We messed up a bunch, and then we came back again, and we've watched the Israelites do it all. And we are now on our final 3 weeks, and we are in our second week of Deuteronomy. Yep, only 3 lessons after today. And the remaining part of our study will be found in the book of Joshua. We'll be moving into the book of Joshua next week as Israel does proceed into the promised land. So last week, Lynn briefly introduced Deuteronomy to us before spring break and explained that it really is a narrative that Moses is sharing with the people of Israel before he dies and before they cross over into the promised land. And before I continue, I just realized I didn't do announcements, but there are 2. We have a class picnic on April 19th, and then we will begin net registration on April 5th. We are in the process of finalizing our study for next year. I think we've got a good idea of where we're going to be studying and what we're going to be studying. It's going through the hoops that Presbyterians do, and then we will be announcing that very soon. Sorry about that, y'all. But now, back to Deuteronomy. So we are in Deuteronomy. We know it is Moses' narrative that he's sharing with the people of Israel before he dies and before the Israelites cross over into the promised land. And Moses is at the end of his days on earth, and he is sharing his heart with Israel. And that brings me to this, my heart right there, 2 of my 4 hearts. This lesson today just brought me back straight to when I was literally packing up my older 2 boys for college. We loaded up the car, and we drove both of those boys on separate years 20 hours across the country to North Carolina, where I could drop them off for their next stage in life, their college years at Wake Forest. And I completely relate to Moses and his desire to prepare the Israelites before they proceed without him into the promised land. So Doug and I had nurtured these 2 wonderful young men and taught them for their first 18 years, right? Moses nurtured and taught these Israelites from an infant nation of slaves that were leaving Egypt into a new nation of Israel. And he has been with them for 40 years. He's watched and he's guided and led Israel as they dedicated themselves to God, as they fell away and were disobedient, as they repented and continued to wander for years in the wilderness. Well, Doug and I also have walked through these early years with Benjamin and Samuel as they learned and they sometimes stumbled and sometimes fell. We guided them and we pointed them to Jesus and prayed that they too would follow him. We were very hands-on parents, still are to this day, and active and busy with their lives. We constantly were helping them and guiding them and rerouting them. We did let them stumble so that we could teach them that when they fell, that sometimes you could fall and get back up and keep moving forward. They provided us lots of opportunities for that. Moses, too, if you think about it, has done that with the nation of Israel. He's taught them. He's spoken for them. He's interceded for them. And as he is a wonderful leader, one of the most revered leaders in Jewish history. And it's here where we find our lesson today. It's here in the desert at the edge of the promised land where Moses shares his final words with his people before they proceed into their next adventure, like my two boys were off, in their next step in maturity of becoming the nation of Israel. Our lesson this morning consists of three small sections of Deuteronomy. They're small vignettes or snippets of the entire book, but nonetheless, there are three important passages to give us a sample of Moses' farewell to his people. The divisions are as follows. The first division is chapter 30, 11 through 20, prepare. The second division is chapter 31, 1 through 8, and it's provide. And the third division is chapter 34, 1 through 12, which is proceed. The text that's not included in this lesson in the rest of Deuteronomy chapters 31 through 33 talks about Moses. It's still part of his third address to the nation, and he is sharing with them in those chapters that we didn't actually study today about the need for reading the law aloud. And then he also talks about, he predicts and foretells that Israel will fall away again and disobedience. And then he, there's a part that is the Moses' song and his blessing to each tribe individually of Israel. But today we're going to focus just on these verses. And so let's open up our Bibles to today's text in Deuteronomy. Division 1. We find ourselves in the middle of a speech that Moses is giving to the people. It is really the heart of the matter. And just like me, as I confess to you, I did use my 20-hour drive all the way across the country to give both of my boys on their given year one more, maybe two more reminders about the important things in life. Trying to equip them for when they were going to be off on their own. Moses is doing the same exact thing here today in this text. In his final address, Moses really wants the Israelites to be prepared for his departure. They must not be dependent on him any longer. The Israelites' dependence must shift from Moses, their physical, authoritative leader, to God, their spiritual leader, so that they can truly take that step in maturity. Moses explains that they do have the word to guide them in verse 14. He has already instructed them to share their story and to tell their story to their children and grandchildren. He knows that they know they have the word, but he's reminding them one more time about how important it is. So the word is in their mouths and in their hearts. Moses goes on to explain that Israel has a choice. So yet, as being the leader he is, he does kind of command them at this point, but he reminds them of three things. One, to love the Lord, number one. Two, to walk in obedience. And three, to keep God's commandments. This choice of loving the Lord, walking in obedience, and keeping God's commandments, what does it do? It brings life. The alternative is death. Disobedience brings death. He wants them to choose life and make it their choice And he wants them to experience the blessings that come from being obedient to God instead of the death and curses that it could bring. Then my favorite part of this lesson is in verse 20. For the Lord is your life. Let me say that again and let it soak in and resonate with you. The Lord is your life. As a leader said this morning, God is not a checklist. God is a way of life. The Lord is your life. It's a process. Obedience daily, being in the Word daily. And Moses wants that for his people. God has set the Israelites up for success in the Promised Land. He will keep his covenant with his people, and they will spend many years in the Promised Land. Now, it's up to Israel with what they will do with that message, right? Moses has equipped the infant, still maturing nation of Israel with the word of the Lord. And in his final message, this last bit of preparation, Moses tells the Israelites to choose life. So an application from this first division of preparation, we face choices every day, hundreds of choices. So what choices are you making daily that points you to choosing life? Choosing God as your priority and number one. Being obedient to his calling. Take a minute to consciously choose an action that you can take each day to choose life. Choose God. Put God in your daily routine. Make it a part of your daily rhythm. It could be starting your day with prayer or quiet time. It could be closing your mouth when you might want to judge someone else for the choices they're making. It could be finishing praying through the Psalms for Lent that Covenant's doing. It could be even encouraging someone in the line at the grocery store. Make it your choice. Make it an action that you can see yourself accomplish. We too are prepared to walk into the Promised Land just like the Israelites. Now moving on to the second division, chapter 31, 1 through 8, it's provide. Just like Moses helped God prepare the people of Israel with some last encouraging words, here in this small division of text, Moses also helped the people know that God provided for them by providing a leader, a new leader that would succeed him. Here in verse 1, Moses gives the public announcement that he would not be crossing into the Promised Land with them. He explains that first and foremost in verse 3, that the Lord your God, Yahweh, will cross ahead of them. Then he adds that Joshua would lead them into the Promised Land. He tells the Israelites to be strong and courageous in verse 6, and that the Lord will never leave or forsake you. What comforting words of encouragement. Sorry for the feedback, y'all. God really has provided. Then Moses commissions Joshua in front of all the people. He equips Joshua with encouragement with three short messages. One, be strong and courageous in verse 7. And two, the Lord will go before you, Joshua, and he will never leave or forsake you. And finally, three, do not be afraid or discouraged. Joshua knows what he's going into. Moses shows his confidence in Joshua and to the nation of Israel. He's modeling for them that Joshua is the man, okay? He knows, Moses does, that Joshua has been equipped to lead and that Joshua would follow God into the Promised Land. And therefore, the people of Israel need to then follow him. Moses finishes his job well. Well done. good and faithful servant. An application from this division. What has God equipped us to do, to lead? We know that God provides, and here He's provided the Word, the law, and He's provided leadership and guidance in a new leader of Joshua. God has equipped us too. Do we receive it? Do we use it? Do we actually step into the promised land equipped to lead? I challenge you to think about your gifts. We all have them. They're different, yes, but we all have a gift that God has equipped each one of us with. So use it. Use your gift. Write down one of your gifts and how you can use it today, tomorrow, every day. Where is God asking you to use that gift? Asking you to lead? Write it down. Plan it out and make that bold step to do it. Now, leading into our third division, God says, proceed in chapter 34, 1 through 12. The short narrative of the death of Moses is a beautiful illustration to us, even today, of God's grace and His love of His people, and in this case, His love of Moses. Wiersbe, one of the commentators that I read when I'm preparing the lecture, said it this way. He describes the scene so well. Moses had begun his ministry as a lonely shepherd, caring for his sheep near Mount Horeb, the mountain of God, and now he would end his ministry leaving his sheep with Joshua and going up to Mount Nebo alone to meet God. The key to this passage of text is that Moses is not going to the promised land. Like Lynn so thoughtfully explained last week, even though Moses begged God to reconsider, God said no. Moses must live with the consequence of his sin, and he would not cross over into the promised land with the people. God does hold us to high expectations, and Moses was his leader. And so, therefore, Moses was held to very high expectations as well. God models through Moses' example that everyone's sin has consequences. But that being said, in His mercy and in His grace, He lets Moses see all of the promised land from the high view on Mount Nebo. And a side note, Moses does eventually step into the promised land many, many, many years later when he appears to Jesus with Elijah on the Mount of Transfiguration. And so if you want those verses, it's in Matthew 17, 1 through 3, and it's found in Luke 9, 28 through 31. So Moses had finished the work God had given him to do. In verse 5, Moses, the servant of the Lord, dies. And then the Lord buries him. What a sweet, intimate scene that must have been. The text then goes on to say that no one to this day knows where his grave is. Unlike Joseph, whose bones the Israelites literally carried out of Egypt with them 40 years ago and will return to the promised land, Moses would remain quietly buried just on the border outside the promised land. His grave would not become a shrine for the Israelites. Again, preparation by God in advance. Again, like much of Moses' life, his death has also several parallels to Jesus and his death. There really was not another leader like Moses for the Jewish people until Jesus, and that is 1,000 years later, from the death of Moses to the life of Jesus. And I'm not going to discuss all the parallels here, but maybe you'll have time to discuss them in your small groups, because I always find that link very interesting. But the text closes here today with Israel mourning Moses for 30 days and then Joshua being filled with the Spirit in verse 9 to show the transition of leadership from Moses to Joshua. It is complete. just like I was not able to stay with Benjamin and Samuel in college, I'm sure they're very disappointed about that, Moses could not go with Israel on the very close of their journey. It was time for Israel to go on without him. The final step of becoming the nation of Israel was that they needed to proceed on their own. They had to make their own decisions, and they had to own their own relationship with God. They needed to choose life and to follow God because they decided to, not because Moses told them to. They'd matured enough to make that decision. They were ready. A new generation of people. They are not the slaves from Egypt any longer. They are a brand new generation of people. And for them to truly be successful as a nation, they had to make it on their own by choosing God, by choosing life. Just like Benjamin and Samuel will need to make many decisions in college and then in life on their own. Moses helped prepare the people. Moses helped provide the next leader. And now Israel needed to take that final step. And they were ready. They were equipped with the word in their heart and in their mouths. They were ready to follow God behind Joshua into the promised land. The transition of trusting Moses to trusting God and his word in obedience is complete. My illustration for this lesson has been a comparison of Moses with his people and me as a mom with my college boys. My final point is that I need to be less as they head off to college, and the Holy Spirit in their heart and mine needs to be greater. They too, just like Moses, must allow God to work in their lives without me, through the good and the great, as well as the bad and the not so great. The goal is that my boys will one day independently turn to him, just like Israel needed to do, just like Israel needed to make that choice. Israel had to move on without Moses, and my college boys had to move on without Doug and Mai's constant supervision. It is the part of them maturing, and it's a part of them becoming independent. So, an application for this division, it's time for all of us to proceed. So all of you have a string on your table. It's a colored string. If you find it, everyone take them. Take one. And I want you to do a few things with me. Make sure you all have a string. If you don't, there should be one at another table. There should be plenty. My little activity for the day. We have to be moving and thinking and learning at the same time. So raise your hand if you do not have a string yet. Okay, so make sure that if there, okay, so this table back here needs some more strings. If there's some extras that someone can share. So does everyone, who does not have a string now? Okay, good. Okay, so you're going to do a couple of things with me with your string. First, I want you to grab either your lesson or your Bible, your choice, but get it where you can pick it up with your string. Okay? And you're going to just follow along with me, entertain me by doing it with me. So I want you to stand up with your string and your Bible. I want you now to quietly wander to a place in the room, a space big enough for you to stand and be able to place your string in front of you. So just find a space if you need to spread out a little bit, and then stop with your string and your Bible or your lesson, that works. Okay, everybody find a place. Okay, now I'd like you to place your string at your feet in a line in the sand, a border, a boundary, possibly the River Jordan. Okay, the string is going to serve as our pretend boundary. Okay? It is the border between the desert, where we're standing, and the promised land. So now, the next, I just want you to listen. As you stand with your toes on the border, holding the Word of God in your hand, remember that God has equipped you with His Word. He has equipped each of you with a special gift. You too have a choice, just like the Israelites did thousands of years ago, a choice to make the commitment to choose life, which is to love the Lord, to listen to His voice, to hold fast to Him and walk in obedience. And this is where it may be hard. Where is God leading us to serve? Where is God leading you to lead? Where is God calling you to work? For me, it is, what is God asking me to leave behind? I need to allow Him to do His work. Allow God to work beautifully in the hearts and minds and souls of my children. I must trust Him. I must remind myself that it is okay to let go so that the Holy Spirit can work. My voice must decrease and His voice must increase. So whatever it may be that you're being called to go to or to lead, or whatever you're being called to leave behind, if we trust in Him, we love Him, we listen to Him, hold fast to Him, and walk in obedience, we too can step into the promised land. We can leave that desert behind. So together, with our equipped of the Word of the Lord in our hands and in our hearts, we must leave the wilderness behind and cross over after Him into the promised land to see what blessings will be in our future. Everyone ready? So let's do it. Let's step over the border of the desert into the promised land. Let us pray. Gracious and Heavenly Father, we just praise Your name and thank You for providing the promised land to each one of us and the provision of life through Your Son, Jesus Christ. In Your name we pray. Amen.